So in conclusion, John Lee told me I had to be done by 8 o'clock, so we're gonna speed it up here. I was gonna start with a joke about the Prince Road elders asking a teacher to speak about a lucrative benefits package. But I didn't think there was anything funny about it, so we're gonna skip that. I did try to do some research, and I asked Matt Harvey what a benefits package was, but he told me I just was probably better off not knowing, so we're going to just keep going. The theme of the camp out this year is spiritual blessings, as mentioned in Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Tonight we want to look at the benefits package, and in particular the spiritual blessings that we receive by being a member of the Lord's kingdom. And it's important to understand that concept. Benefit packages are given to those who work in the kingdom. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." These are physical benefits mentioned here in this passage, but spiritual benefits obviously could be included. God wants to give good gifts to those who seek after him. Sometimes I have a hard time putting my blessings into a physical or a spiritual category. For example, I'm sure there are many of us here who probably wouldn't be married to the spouse we have if it wasn't for the church. I consider my wife a physical and a spiritual blessing at the same time, added to me because I first sought the kingdom of God. The way my wife tells the story, she was about 11 and was talking to her mother about marriage. And her mom said, "Well, when you want to get married, you'll have to find someone in the Lord." So the next Wednesday evening, she started looking around and saw me up sitting with my parents in the front row, red hair and freckles. And she leaned over to her mom and said, "I guess it's going to have to be him." And I am okay with that. It wasn't the last time that God has overflowed my cup of blessings right into my saucer. So God will provide benefits when we join his kingdom. And more importantly, we can have confidence and security in those benefits. We don't have that confidence in the world. People are constantly worried about losing their benefits, having their pension taken away. In this world, promises are broken. And your physical benefits package might not be guaranteed. But this is not the case with our benefits package in the kingdom of Christ. We can read the fine print about our benefits package in 2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 22. "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among us by us, preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Your benefits package in Christ is guaranteed. And we need to have every confidence in God that he will keep his promises. And this can be hard. Because what is the bulk of our benefits package? It's a long-term life insurance plan. And to receive that benefit, we need to persevere in this life. We have to have endurance until the end. That's why the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10, 35 through 36 warns us, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. There are many scriptures that explain the benefits package of the kingdom of Christ, but I've actually chosen only one to examine tonight. And if you want to turn with me, you don't have to turn with me, that's fine. Most of you know the passage anyway. The 103rd Psalm, we're going to be looking at the first five verses tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And here are the top five. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? And we want to look at these five benefits tonight. Number one, forgiveness of sins, as we talked about today. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Can you imagine this being part of your benefits package at work? You get this many sick days. Here's your health insurance. And by the way, every time you make a mistake, even a really big one, the CEO and all your coworkers will automatically forgive you for it. Anybody have that happen in their job? This seems laughable. But for the church, it is the number one benefit. Psalm 32, 1 through 2. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Of course, this benefit is only available to those who have joined the kingdom. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this world, though, we have a worry about not getting employed so that we can receive the benefits. But of course, this is not the case also with the church. We should always read the 39th verse with Acts 2 and 38. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So the benefit of forgiveness is offered to all who decide to enter Christ's kingdom. Number two, healing. Who healeth all thy diseases? This is the health insurance part of God's benefit package. And it's crucial, I think, to have a good understanding of it. This is not saying that we can expect to be continually healed of all diseases and therefore never die in this world. Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. Nor does it mean that we can expect miraculous healing intervention like was seen in the early church. Those miraculous signs were for that time to proclaim the deity of Jesus Christ. They were to proclaim the authority of the apostles in the church. This is the reason for those miracles. And every lame and blind and diseased person that was healed, that we read about, that we've read about from childhood, they all eventually succumbed to something and died again. I think this is why Jesus often said, don't go and tell anybody. Because he wasn't here for that. He wasn't here to save us out of a death or a disease in this world. He was here to forgive us of our sins. And that's what the message that he wanted to get to the people. What this passage, the healing of all thy diseases, I think it can mean, suggest a few things. I think it could suggest that the God who created your human body is able to mend his own creation. The healing process that has been divinely incorporated into the fabric of the human system is astounding. the immune system, the phenomenon of antibodies, the mending process are all remarkable beyond what we can express. So the healing power of God is clearly seen in His creation. Some of you might have noticed my youngest son, Gabby. He got hit in the face with a pool ball. I know some of you noticed because as I watch him walk down through the campground, I see these expressions of horror. And yesterday, I was taking him over here to go to the showers. He says, "Dad, pool balls feel an awful lot like rocks." And I took him down there. He hadn't seen himself yet, and he wanted to see himself. And I took him and I put him up right. I lifted him up because the mirror is higher than him. And I lifted him up real close to the mirror. He says, "That looks disgusting." And then he turned to me and he says, "Will I look like this at camp out next year?" And I said, "No." And he says, "How do you know that?" And then it hit me. Because I have faith in God. I know what this body that He created will do over time to itself. It will heal. It'll get uglier. It'll turn different shades of colors. And then next year, it won't look like that anymore. Probably his other eye will look like that, maybe. But the healing process that God created is amazing. And we should have faith. When you have something, you have faith, don't you? You know that eventually it's going to look better. And how did it do that? It's a healing process that God put in us, in His creation. I think the benefit of this healing goes much deeper than this, however. It's almost impossible for us not to look at things through the glasses of the physical world. We become so attached to this world that when we read in the Bible, "Who healeth all thy diseases," sometimes we can question God about that. Kay Stoops had cancer and left this world after 60 years. Tom Woody had cancer and left this world after 58 years. My mom had cancer and left this world after 52 years. I would think we would all agree that they were too young. Did God heal them from their diseases? Of course He did. Their souls live on, disease-free, and we buried dead cancer in the ground. And of course we're sad when we're separated from our loved ones for this short time. But this is where I think the real healing comes in. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And this is a great benefit of being part of this kingdom here. Each family of the people I mentioned earlier became more equipped by God to help with the healing process of the next family in line. This is the benefit we have in Jesus. And the world is so blind to this. I think of the stark contrast that I saw in my life when a 19-year-old cousin of mine in a family not in the Lord died in a car crash, and when my 19-year-old friend Clint Sparks died in a car crash. The houses of mournings for those two was profoundly different. And it was sad for both. But the healing process was amazing in one family as opposed to the other. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all most miserable. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 14. The last words in that the rest of the verse says, encourage each other with these words. Point number 3, redemption. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? The Hebrew word for destruction in this verse means pit or grave. And it's translated that way in both the NIV and the ESV. So it means that one of the benefits is that we will be redeemed from what we actually deserve. The destruction of our souls in the pit of hell. When we are saved from a punishment that we deserve, that is called mercy. When we are given a good reward that we do not deserve, that is called grace. And redemption offers both. Psalm 130 and 7 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption means, as we were talking about this morning, means to buy back with a price. Christ had to purchase or obtain our redemption. How did he do this? Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Point number 4, we receive a crowning. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? The benefit package offers us many crowns in his kingdom. You are crowned with loving kindness in the kingdom. You are crowned with tender mercies in his kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tired, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And you'll notice that these aren't physical crowns of gold or silver. They are crowns of righteousness, crowns of life, crowns of glory, crowns of loving kindness, crowns of tender mercies. These are spiritual blessings that he anoints our heads with if we are in the kingdom. The fifth benefit, is satisfaction. The King James Version reads, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Hebrew word here that is translated mouth in the King James Version and in the New King James Version is translated as ornaments in almost every other location in scriptures. So I found that there was a lot of disagreement about what words should be there. Most commentators did agree that the King James translation of mouth is actually probably not the right word that should be used there. And so I looked up a lot of different translations and different commentaries, and it's all over the place. And so I was going to read some of the different translations on what they said. The NKJV, who satisfies your mouth with good things? The NLT, he fills my life with good things. The NIV, who satisfies your desires with good things. The ESV, who satisfies you with good. The HCSB, he satisfies you with goodness. The NASB, who satisfies your years with good things. The NET, who satisfies your life with good things. The RSV, who satisfies you with good as long as you live. The ASV, who satisfieth thy desire with good things. The YLT, who is satisfying with good thy desire. The DBY, who satisfieth thine old age with good things. The HNV, who satisfies your desire with good things. The JMSV, who satisfies your soul with good things. You might have recognized the last one, the JMSV. That's the John Morris song version. I liked Albert Barnes' commentary on this verse so much that I wrote down exactly what he said. He said, and I quote, "I confess myself unable to determine the meaning of this verse." And if you've read Albert Barnes, that is probably the least amount of words he has ever used in a sentence. And so I was kind of at a loss. And as I was reading over these translations over and over again, I think I kind of want to go with the ones that talk about all the days of your life, all through your old age. To me, it makes sense because I think we always need to look at the context. And the context is, of course, the last half of the verse that talks about your youth being renewed like the eagles. So I think a translation of this verse could read something like, even in your advanced age, as your physical blessings seem to wane, you will still be satisfied. God will still shower you with spiritual blessings and good things. This is part of the benefits package that I think takes into account what maybe the world might call your retirement age. And I think this verse probably correlates really well. This is kind of why I've landed on this particular translation. It's because I think it correlates well with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Although I'm not ready to put myself in this category yet, I'm feeling the effects. As we grow older, our desires, the things that satisfy our physical nature, our busyness of this world can start to wane. And we begin to think about more of our mortality. Perhaps we start to focus more on the important things in our life. Our Savior, the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the benefit of being in the kingdom is that God will satisfy us with good things as we get older. There are some elderly people in the camp. I probably shouldn't call them elderly. They're older than me in this camp. And a year and a half ago, I think it was, they took a trip to Alaska. This is a very interesting thing for me because I was at Smart Road, and I was talking to Randy and Laura Tettmeyer. So those are people I was talking about as it being elderly. And I said, "What was your favorite thing about that trip?" And Randy, without hesitation, said, "The people we were with. There is nothing better than being with brothers and sisters in Christ." I like that. Later, I was at Prince. Actually, I don't think I was at Prince Road. I think I was at Murray Road, and I was talking to Dave and Vonna Hartman, two other elderly people. And I said, "What was your favorite thing about that trip to Alaska?" And again, without hesitation, Dave said, "You can't beat the company. They actually make things better." couple weeks ago, I was out at Lawrence. I was talking to Calvin and Shirley Spencer, two more elderly people. And I said, what was the best thing about your trip to Alaska? And Calvin, without hesitation, said, oh, the scenery was great. Just great. And then Shirley said, but the people with us. That's how you do impersonations of Shirley. You just get down here. I'm really making fun of a lot of people. I feel really bad about this. But Shirley chimed in and said, oh, but who were we were with? It wouldn't be a trip. They make everything good. And of course, Calvin came right in with that. He goes, yes, definitely. I'll give a shout out to Calvin. I think he was trying to praise God before others. So I got you, Calvin, wherever you are there. I really found that fascinating. I love that. That's a true story. I talked to every single one of them. And that is what they said. The people that they were spending their time with. And I couldn't agree more with that. One of the top benefits, most satisfaction, is to be surrounded with God's people. How many friendships do you have because of the kingdom of Christ? The good work of the Prince Road congregation in putting on the camp out has been a blessing for my family for 23 years. I first came here in 1994 with my 8-month-old son, my wife, and her brother, Matt Harvey, all in a junky red station wagon, which I borrowed from my father-in-law. On the way down, Matt lost his wallet and all his money, so he was a joy to be with. We had no idea where we were going, so we stopped at a bar in Eminence and asked where the Bible camp was. And we pulled in here around 2 a.m., hoping that we were in the right place. We stopped somewhere about, there used to be a basketball hoop or something, I think, back then. I don't know. We were down there somewhere kind of on the side of the hill, and we parked the red station wagon. And we had no room, and we weren't going to pitch a tent or anything. So I slept on the ground underneath the front of the station wagon, and I prayed to God and said, Lord, what have I done? But we woke up to, oh, what a beautiful morning. Matt saw his future wife. And every year, we have looked forward to coming back and spending more time with you, God's family, the kingdom of God. And we always come in, and we have these greeters that come and run over and try to help us. And over the years, we've lost some of those greeters. And I lost one of my first greeter every time. I lost one of my greeters this year in Dale. As I was putting up my tent, I was thinking about him helping me last year. And I started thinking, and my thoughts turned to all those of this camp who are now camping on the other side of Jordan. And that the greatest benefit of all of our benefits package will be that sweet reunion of the body of Christ. If you are not part of that body tonight, hopefully you can see the faithful and true benefits that come with accepting Jesus as your Savior, that come with entering into the kingdom of God. Psalm 116, 12 through 13 offers the invitation better than I can. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Please join us tonight as we stand and sing the invitation song.